Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, a podcast where we explore primates and popular culture from Chimpan A to Chimpan Z. I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. It's the host of the gaming show, Evan Munro Smith.
Hey, Gamey Game Show, it's called.
Okay.
That's not it.
And this week on the show, joining Evan and I, back in the monkey house from Batch Bitch Podcast, it's Danielle Walker and Naomi Higgins.
Ew.
Hello.
Were you trying to be
me? I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Hello. Is that what you think I sound like?
Yeah.
Which one of you is talking right now?
Oh, it's crazy. We sound the same.
Yeah, we sound exactly the same. You're Naomi.
Oh, and I'm Danielle. Oh, I love dead pigs.
Ben Russell did a great impression of you on Gamey Game last week.
Well,
so
I should watch it then.
Yeah.
Can you impersonate Ben impersonating Naomi?
You're cancelled. Sort of like that.
That's good. That is very good.
I didn't even have to watch it now.
Thanks so much for joining us again. This is the first time you've both been back together since we did the original Disney Jungle Book.
Yes, we've not been in the same room since, Danielle and I.
That's cool, because you record in separate states, don't you?
Sometimes it's hard when we are in the same city, but we'll just put like a little partition up in the room.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it keeps it.
Always
keeps
Skype.
It interesting.
Keeps it batchy, keeps it bitchy. Did you know, since you were on last, I don't think Evan was official second banana back then.
No.
His favourite primate, did you know this, is the human, in particular Andy from Toy Story.
I knew that.
You didn't know that, yeah. Oh, you know
Andy
from Game Again.
Son of a bitch.
Do either of you have a suggestion? Because I'm trying to convince him that non-human primates are better than humans. Do you have any suggestions for some sort of primate?
Yeah. You go first, Naomi.
Danielle thinks hers is better. That's what it is.
No.
She's like, let me crush at the end. You can open for me. The bald Okari. What do you think of that?
Evan, what do you reckon about the bald Okari?
I don't know. Humans can be bald too.
Okay.
But can they be this red in the face?
Yes.
I think some could.
Yeah, maybe Barnaby Joyce. Am I right? A little bit of political humor.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a fantastic looking animal. Yeah, crazy teeth.
He looks angry.
That
one is angry, I think.
Oh, right. It's because he's angry.
He's got a camera right in his face.
I'm looking it up on National Geographic. Apparently, it is a herbivore.
Oh, that's smaller. They just had one sitting on a person. It's smaller than I thought it was.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Oh,
See, they're good for the climate.
Average lifespan, 15 to 20 years.
That's a pretty old monkey.
They're 14 to 22 inches in size. Don't know what.
22 inches.
I'm guessing that's height.
What's that, 2 feet?
They just call that size. Surely you can't call size and then do a length.
Yeah, no, you just stretch it any which way and then just pick the longest bit.
It's perfectly spherical. That's its diameter. And it weighs 4.4 to 6.6 pounds. I don't know what that means, really.
That's how much it weighs.
Okay. Yeah. Pounds are less than kilos, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that's got to be pretty tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess like 2.5, 3 kilos. Is that right? He said two to 4 pounds. Is that what you said?
4.4 to 6.6.
Oh no, that's more. Okay. I think No, that'd be 2 to 3, right? I don't know. I always think it's two pounds is a kilo.
No, hang on. No, you're right.
All right, hang on. What was it? 4 to 6 pounds. 4 pounds in kilograms is... Oh my god, it's taking so long to load! Why is it showing me a spreadsheet? Okay, it's 1.8 kilograms for 4 pounds.
Wow, right, that is close, 2 kilos.
So that's like, yeah. you'd be able to hold that in the palm of your hand, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, it might be
that's
hard.
The, that's
might
the be smaller pocket end. Size.
It might move.
So were you saying size?
Size does matter, yes.
Right.
I've always said that.
You said
no
it
matter
was,
what you how you try to argue with me, Evan.
You were saying it should be height instead of size. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you're gonna give us the height, I'd call it the height.
But
you can't say size and well, okay, because it might be tail included. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's just that if it was a cat, you wouldn't say height. You'd say length.
Okay. Well, all right, length then.
And so this, what is this? You know? Is it a horizontal thing or a standy thing?
It's an ukaki.
It's whatever the longest way is.
Yeah, but that's why you say size instead of height.
Well,
or length.
It just depends whether the monkey's standing up or laying down, Evan.
Yeah, right.
Evan, before you make a full decision, let me tell you about the bald ukaki. Okay. Bald ukaris are small South American primates with striking bald heads and ripe red faces.
Mm.
They may be attractive to mates because malarial or sick animals develop pale faces. So
see,
red,
like,
red is hot,
red
is in.
Look how much blood I have.
Look onto my face. They have long, shaggy coats that vary from reddish brown to orange. And these monkeys only live in the Amazon River Basin, preferring permanently or seasonally flooded rainforests and locations near water sources, such as small rivers and lakes.
Because they're so hot.
Yeah.
They need bodies of water to cool down.
Yeah, yeah. So does that sell you? Is that enough?
No, I think
they like rivers and lakes.
Nah.
Do humans like that?
Some do.
Does Andy like that?
Yeah.
Maybe. Andy might have a very red face.
Who knows? We only ever see his legs.
That's not true.
No, we have seen his face in the early ones.
And the later ones.
And the later
All
ones.
Of them.
All of them. But mainly if I think of Andy, I think of legs.
Your face.
He's nearly always walking around the toys.
Same. I'm always walking.
Yeah, you're not right now, so.
That's why they call me Legs 11.
I just call you Naomi.
No, can you please call me Legs 11? This is how I get people to call me Legs 11.
Do you have a suggestion, Danielle?
Well, after this movie, I really liked the Gigantopithecus, but now also after hearing Evan say you can pick specifically what exactly which specific person, individual of the species you like. I particularly like the Gigantopithecus if it's Christopher Walken speaking out of its mouth.
Yeah, right. That was fun.
That was very fun.
But that's a fictional.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, you can do that too.
Unlike Andy.
Andy's Andy's real. He lives in our hearts.
Oh.
Well, Christopher Walken lives in mine as the Gigantopithecus.
All right,
so
fine.
Yeah, great
calm
suggestion.
Down.
What do you think of that, Evan?
No, that is pretty good. But he's so big. What's his size?
Yeah, imagine how easy he could put a wristwatch up his ass.
It's a reference.
Yeah, I can't remember which one, but
no,
someone's true about it. Probably one with that guy that everyone likes who makes the movies about
Christopher
killing
Walken.
Bill. Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino.
One of his, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's going to annoy some cinephiles out there.
Oh, I bet you listen to this and you just, you're like, oh, I know what it is.
You know,
but you can't tell us.
Cinephiles really do, they tune in. They tune in to hear our takes.
Do they?
On the Jungle Book 2016 remake. For sure.
Which everyone wants to hear.
Yeah. All right, Evan, I think you've probably just heard two of the best non-human primates.
They're good, but I think humans are better.
Okay.
We can use tools.
You are so self-centered.
We can commit mass murders. So many things humans can do.
Yeah, Evan, what about that?
Good.
Do you love mass murders,
Weird
Evan?
That you love genocide.
Oh, Evan. I think...
I'm not saying all humans...
Evan, could you
Oh, not all humans.
Evan, could you do your impersonation of Ben Russell being Naomi cancelling you right now?
No. That'd be too embarrassing.
Okay. So today we're talking about The Jungle Book from 2016, the remake, by Jon Favreau. It's the
Thank
Disney
God.
Remake. Yeah? You're a Fav fan?
Oh, well, you know, if I wasn't a fan of the first one, which I wasn't, imagine my joy that you said, hey, come back and do this other one, and then me accepting, not realizing I'd have to watch the movie.
I forgot. Yeah, that's right. Because all I remembered was that you both loved the original, but it was only
that
Danielle. You'd never seen it.
I did not like it.
What didn't you like about the original?
Boring. Almost no story. It's just and it's fine that it's just a way for a kid to walk around and hear different songs from different animals. So, Danielle, don't look at me like that. All right, we've had this conversation.
No, I wanted to hear, what's your favourite movie then that you think isn't boring at all?
Isn't
there's so many movies.
Around.
What's your favourite movie then, hey?
Well, now I'm
Kill
under
Bill
pressure,
too.
Aren't I? What's my favourite movie?
Yeah.
Her?
Boring.
Do you even know what it's about?
It's about an AI. It's about Siri.
No, I haven't watched that. But you know why? Because I read the premise and it sounded boring.
Scarlett Johansson is a voice actor. They have that in
common. Joaquin Phoenix makes love to a laptop, I think. Is that the story?
Yeah, he fucks it in the USB port. Yeah.
It's pretty full on, actually.
It's actually a really beautiful film. Anyway,
actually a really beautiful
love
scene.
Let's get back to talking to this trash. wasn't happy about it. But that's okay, because you used to have Evan and I on together.
Yeah.
And we would talk about, like, Donkey Kong video games and that kind of thing, which I find interesting. But
yeah,
then
we should
I've gone away and
soon.
Evan's gotten a promotion, and now you put me on with this person I've never met, Daniella Wilkins.
No, it's Danielle Walker.
Walker.
Oh, right.
You do a podcast with her.
You are so rude.
That was
you bring
that was
your
rude.
Dog into my home.
You love
and
that.
And you treat me like this.
I welcome your dog into
I let
my
him
home.
Drink out of my regular bowls.
All right, everyone who's visiting Danielle's for dinner, just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
If you're having soup, a dog's lapped out of that before. So this is how Rotten Tomatoes describes the film. It says, after a threat from the tiger Shere Khan, forces him to flee the jungle, a man cub named Mowgli embarks on a journey of self-discovery with the help of Panther Bagheera and free-spirited bear Baloo.
Did that have two different spellings of Mowgli?
No, but I know...
It's Mowgli.
I think we say Mowgli, but I think it was initially written to be pronounced Mowgli.
How do you write something to be pronounced?
In the book.
I feel like Rudyard Kipling's daughter was upset about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I vaguely remember that from a past episode. Maybe the last time we talked about it.
Imagine just unrelated, some other movie. Someone's like, did you know?
But we've done an episode about the movie Mowgli or Mowgli from Netflix.
Oh.
So this
and
is
we
the
weren't
third
here for it?
I had the fill-in... Naomi Jess Perkins.
Oh, right.
And the fill-in Danielle Peter Jones.
It's Ruth.
Yeah.
To Naomi.
I think it was around Christmas time last year you weren't available. And we had to get that Andy Serkis hot, fresh movie out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God. I heard that one was trash.
I liked it, but, you know, I'm a weirdo.
Faces were weird.
The faces were weird, and I liked that about it.
Oh.
Because they could actually, there was some motion. Shere Khan and this is... You know, it's little mouth movement at the bottom.
But
it's got literally one dead eye and the other eye doesn't have a heap of life in it either. You know?
In my mind, I was comparing this to the other recent Jon Favreau remake, which was The Lion King.
The Chef. Oh.
Chef was a great film.
Yeah, because that was initially
But that
a
wasn't
cartoon.
A remake.
It was a remake of Ratatouille.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like the animals in this one had a bit more expression
bit more spunk.
To them.
Yeah,
spunk.
Sure.
So it didn't seem like I didn't
Moxie.
See spunk.
I like the peccary.
What is and the peccary is the tiny pig?
Yeah.
I think maybe played by Favreau himself.
Yeah, that's cute. Cute little things.
Cute AF.
I liked it. I'd have it.
For dinner.
I want one.
I'd eat it. Yum yum. Appetizer.
Maybe they did have more in their faces than the Lion King one.
They definitely didn't look like completely naturalistic.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't as like photo. They obviously weren't constrained so much by making it look photorealistic. Well, not, yeah, not so much in the rendering, but the design was more characterized.
The Gigantopithecus looked like Christopher Walken.
Well, I thought it was fucking terrifying. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, was that Gigantopithecus.
It was like the...
What the fuck was that?
I like that neck fat on it.
Yeah.
That, he was like, fucking terrifying. You know, there's like that graph that like the more human-like something is... It like looks really good, and then there's a dip right before like hyperrealism.
Valley.
Yeah, the uncanny valley. That's where he sat, right in the middle of there.
Right,
I was like,
you reckon?
Leave me alone. Freak me the fuck out.
I did write down just the word weird at the start when I was watching this film.
Is that all you wrote?
Because it was a bit weird. No, I wrote down other things.
Well, you're holding it to your chest like it's your personal diary.
I actually didn't write much because I was also playing Untitled Goose Game at the same time as watching the film.
So was I. I have to admit, I was basically playing a video game the entire time.
I also wrote down great kid.
You thought the kid was a good actor?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely times where you're like, eh.
For a kid.
But for a kid, he was great. And he was pretty funny, I thought. Like, he had some really, there were some really nice moments.
Because I just watched it with Danielle before we were recording this, and she mentioned that he obviously has some skills, because he would have been acting against...
Nothing.
Know, mops and sticks and stuff.
Mops and sticks.
Or were they real animals and they animated the faces?
They're all real
they
tigers.
They got the panther.
Of course, it would have been, acting against, dots and whatever else. But, kids have good imaginations.
I also said, though, that kid, if this was real, that kid would have been way more ripped.
Right.
That kid was not ripped enough.
Like,
to
he's in
mad
race,
that he didn't have a
six
pack.
Yeah, he should have. Honestly, he should have. He had no upper body strength. That kid. It like I've you know you see kids,
but
that's
they,
not
but they
a
look like
kid.
That though, and then they can just like swing on the monkey bars, and you're like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, but
it's
I was saying,
so light.
Was saying to Matt when I was like a nanny, when we'd take the kids on holidays and do heaps of like stuff, you'd be outside all day. At the end of the holidays, they'd have little ripped six packs. Little tiny kid six packs.
I don't know why this is so upsetting to me.
There's something weird about putting a
it's
six pack on a kid.
It's creeping me out that you're so passionate about it.
I'm just saying it's not realistic.
He should have had the same personal trainer that Chris Pratt did before he did Guardians of the Galaxy.
He should have, okay?
I've just looked up why you were talking about the throat sac.
Of
the Gigantopithecus. I've looked up the throat sacs because orangutans have them as well. And it says... the other unique features of male orangutans, long, thick hair to make them appear even larger, and their throat sac, which they use to vocalize. The throat sac is used to make a very notable and recognizable call that echoes through the forest.
Like a sort of like a...
Can you play it?
Like that?
This is called the long call, and it is used to locate and advertise their presence to females or warn other males away. All right, let me see if I can find... Orangutan.
Long call.
Why? We know what it sounds like. I just did it. Duh. I really hope it's similar to that. No.
It's about right.
I mean, it's not.
It does sound.
What the fuck?
Does sound a bit like Danielle.
Yeah.
Ah.
Whoa!
That was good, that one, to be fair. That one was genuinely quite accurate, I think.
You know, you can lean back from the mic when you do that if you want.
I can't hear it in my ears.
that orangutan fact was from orangutan.com. My favourite place for orangutan facts.
Yeah, right.
Now.
Orangutan or orangutan?
What was the question again? Orangutan. Is that right? I make a long call when I'm
Ranga back.
Yeah, still do.
You should know.
Yeah, well, Ranga is different. I never have to complete it. I get called Ranga, but yeah, that is a word that makes me feel anxious.
Ranga,
orangutan. Just saying it makes me feel
tan.
Hang on, Ranga is short for orangutan.
Yeah, because of the redness.
Right.
You know,
did you get that too?
No, not
you were
really.
Never a full
you
genuine
kind of
Ranga.
I had red hair when I was really young, but I grew out of it. But I still have a bit of a redness in my beard. But
it's weird. Kids...
Evan grew up.
Yeah, grow up.
What's your excuse?
You have too. You've got Brett. We've got similar color hair.
Hair's,
but you've got a big.
As I've got older, my hair's got more and more boring colored.
Yeah, yeah.
I would now describe it as mousy brown, probably. I went for an ad, and they had an older photo of me from a few years ago, and then they asked for an updated photo, and they're like, "Oh, we thought you had redder hair than that." Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get the part. We could dye it. There's so ways sad. Around. You've got technology now. Put a filter on the camera or something. Do it in post.
Put some powder in or something.
Chuck a bit of powder in.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Honestly, the standards in, you know, hiring actors and stuff, you must have such a hard time getting cast.
I do.
Because of your brown hair.
Yep. It is pretty frustrating. I appreciate you being there for me today.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I've just gone off track now. Okay. But you know the fruit, a rambutan? Is that called a rambutan because it looks a bit like an orangutan?
I've never heard of it.
Rambutan.
Rambutan.
Hang on. Are you talking about the fruit?
Yeah.
A rambutan.
Is it because it looks like sort of an orangutan?
It's a hairy fruit.
It looks like, honestly, the ball of an orangutan.
Looks like the ball. Yes.
The testicle.
Yes, the testicle of an orangutan.
Is that what it is?
No, it's a tasty, delicious fruit similar to a lychee.
The word rambutan is derived from the Malay word rambut, which means hair, a reference to the numerous hairy protuberances of the fruit.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Do you reckon that's where orangutan came from too, a bit? Because they're hairy?
Is hairy man, right?
It means... forest man forest. I forget which way it goes around. People correct me whenever I say it, so I look forward to those messages.
No forest woman, I noticed.
Yeah, interesting. Oh, that word is cancelled.
Orangutans are cancelled. Eat all the palm oil you want.
What did you think of, so in the original that Naomi, you loved, we watched earlier in the 1967
so much. You know what I loved about the remake?
Yeah.
It was even longer.
Loved but with
that.
Less songs.
Yeah, less, there were way less songs.
Less songs and longer. So just more of the nothing in the middle because there was almost no plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the original, it was an orangutan, King Louis, normal size orangutan, but they don't exist in Asia where this is meant to be set.
Right.
So that's why in the newer one they went for a more geographically accurate animal, which is the Gigantopithecus.
Are they really that big?
No.
No, Danielle looked them up. Apparently they're not exactly sure, but maybe around 6'6".
Yeah, it seems like they're about that big. So that's
my height.
Yeah.
So it said, this is from IMDb. It says, in the Jungle Book 1967, King Louis, who was created by Walt Disney and his people, not by Rudyard Kipling. So it wasn't from the original books. King Louis was an orangutan. In this movie, he's a Gigantopithecus. An animal that looks like an orangutan, but is an ancestor of gorillas, whose range is believed to have included parts of India. This change in species was made to make the movie more fantastic, since it would be a better way to represent him as king of the primates and to show that orangutans are not native to India.
John Favreau wrote this.
John Favreau
wrote
it, yeah. And 714 out of 733 people found that interesting on IMDb.
Wow.
So that's not a bad little score there.
That's all John Favreau.
He's just clicking, opening up incognito.
Empty cookies.
What did you think about Christopher Walken as the Gigantopithecus?
That's fucking weird. I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated his fucking face. I keep swearing.
Oh my god!
What podcast are we on?
What is this? Swear mates? I don't think so.
No, he creeped me out. I didn't like it at all.
I liked it heaps, like so much. I loved when he started talking over the song with his weird voice.
Right,
something so like. Hypnotic about it.
I want to be like you. Ooh, ooh.
Perfect.
That was.
I want to be like you.
I want to walk like you. It was like he couldn't get his mouth around the words to get them out in time to the song.
I reckon Favreau was probably directing him, saying, make it more walkin'y. You're not walking it enough.
Playing with the timing of it a little
Let's
bit.
Let's take it for a
Stop
walk.
Stop swinging like an ape and walking it up.
Did you all notice...
That's that my worst thing I've ever said.
just before we meet the King Louis character, played by Christopher Walken, Mowgli finds a cowbell. Do you notice that? From which is one of his famous SNL sketches, was the More Cowbell sketch. I'm like, is that a coincidence or is that an homage? And I looked it up.
Why did he find a cowbell? Sorry, I was probably looking at the goose.
I was looking at the goose again too.
They had a lot of sort of treasury junky stuff around because he's the king and all his monkey army brings it into him. The monkey army was cool. There was a whole heap of different kinds of monkeys this time. And I could not find an article that described them all, but it looked like a great range. I reckon at least half a dozen different ones. There was probably a wrist. Oh, there would have been. Maybe every item there was from a previous walk and roll. Yeah.
So this is set in a time when cowbells had been invented.
I guess it's unclear, but I assume it's Rudyard Kipling era, which is like...
Is that cowbell time?
It could be at any time.
Cowbells have been around for a while.
A long way back.
Yeah. The cowbell really dates this film.
Well, I mean, cowbells, I mean, it's dated because, it's got to be old enough for Gigantopithecus to exist.
Oh, but are they not around anymore?
No,
they've been gone for about 100,000 years, apparently.
And does feel like that's pre-cowbell.
Yeah, but I was just thinking post-fire. That before cowbells were an instrument, they were literally cowbells, weren't they? So,
but this did, so.
Guys, the animals talk, okay? I don't think it's... a documentary.
I'm also going to say this is the last Gigantopithecus.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, people think things are extinct, but then they do turn up sometimes.
Right.
Occasionally, because people haven't been able to track them. Yeah. This thing's just in the middle of a temple in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, where have they looked? Have they looked everywhere?
That temple also dates it. It's from after that temple was made.
Right. Yes.
You know
debatable.
What I mean? Yeah. I was like, that cowbell, that can't be an accident. And I looked it up and apparently it wasn't. This is from whatculture.com. It says, if you thought a possible Game of Thrones Easter egg was the strangest thing to appear in the Jungle Book, you can guess again. I don't know what that means.
Oh, that was when the bear said, winter's coming.
Oh.
Oh, really? Yeah,
I noticed that and I was like, I wonder if this came out before Game. And then I was like, you said 2016, so it would have come out after. So then I was like,
that is rank.
I feel
that's
like you'd work
so bad.
Around
why? What's the point of that?
Was it because...
that.
I mean, that is just a phrase as well, though, right? Because the bear saying that he was going to go on a hibernation.
Yeah.
For about half Murray's the year, bear. Winter is coming.
Yeah. So, I mean...
For about 9 months of the
maybe
year.
Check your privilege on that one, because I don't think everything goes back to Game of Thrones. Am I saying that right, Naomi?
No, it does not apply at all. I don't know what you're doing. It's very confusing.
So it says, much like there's a brilliant but completely... I haven't read this article before. I'm reading it out right
also
now.
Also written by Jon Favreau.
I did think it was going to get to the cowbell quicker than it has. But anyway, let's keep going.
You fool.
Much like there's a brilliant but completely bonkers Breaking Bad reference... In Zootopia.
Why don't you just control F cowbell?
There's a Saturday Night Live reference in the King Louis sequence that is as affectionate as it is odd. But then, as it's dedicated to Christopher Walken, you can sort of understand that. In among Louis' treasures, which amount to rusted pots and metal, there's a cowbell that he picks up to shake at Mowgli. That, for fans of SNL, was a real WTF moment. As it ties into Walken's most famous SNL creation, the More Cowbell record producer. A surreal but hilarious little story. Okay, that did not tell us anything that I didn't already mention.
Have you seen that sketch recently?
No.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I didn't notice the first time, which is like lucky for me, but I noticed it this time. Jimmy Fallon is in that sketch.
Yeah.
And he's fucking laughing the whole time, like trying, oh God, I hate that man. He's always just laughing because he's like, that's what gets, have you seen 30 Rock when there's like one episode where Tracy Jordan just laughs the whole time because he's like, they always laugh at it. It's funny. And so that was me in the middle of it and he's just like, ha ha. And that's what Jimmy Fallon does. And I can't believe looking back on the cowbell sketch, he's ruined that as well.
He's just having a good time. Don't hold that. Now people having fun.
He's like just someone in the background and he just like steals the limelight to do absolutely nothing with it. When it's
maybe
like
he
this
was just
iconic
funning.
Moment happening.
What's wrong with laughing when something's fun's happening on stage, Naomi?
Not when you're on stage.
You're allowed to laugh sometimes if it's funny or you laugh at your own joke. Jokes, even though you've heard them heaps.
Yeah,
you think it's funny, Naomi.
That is starting to feel a little bit personal. Are you having a go at anyone in this room?
No, I think the way Danielle uses it is great. It's like a prompt for the audience to also laugh.
Edit that out, Matt, because I'm going to murder her now.
You don't want any evidence.
That's what Fallon's doing.
Yeah, he's prompting the audience
to laugh.
No, he's just doing the laughter is contagious thing. I hate him so much. He also does it on like a live 30 Rock episode.
He's like those signs that light up, like applause signs.
Yeah, kind of. Except if you just had that in the middle, instead of the funny thing happening, you just had that sign on television.
Oh, I found a quote from Favreau, apparently. He says, this is just cut out in a blog thing, but apparently an interviewer asked him, or didn't ask him, said, love the cowbell reference, by the way, so meta. And Favreau replied, did you catch it? I'm so glad it's in there.
Okay.
That was so an on-set discovery. That was a prop in the background that I pulled out and I said, oh my God, this is what Mowgli has to use. I knew he had to touch something that would get the attention of King Louis, and I saw the cowbell off to the side and I pulled that in and I swapped it out for the other prop we had designed for it. That's the genius of Favreau.
We've spent so long talking about this cowbell.
And I think that people will appreciate it.
We need more cowbell. More.
Thanks for having it, Evan.
There we go.
So, do we? Generally speaking, it's kind of vaguely the same as the cartoon. Like, it starts out, we know that Mowgli is he's a man cub. He's been brought up by the wolves. Pretty soon after, we find out that Shere Khan, the baddie, the tiger, played by Idris Elba, wants him out. He doesn't like man. He's like man.
Yeah,
cubs.
What's he got against man?
I think it was.
Oh, he was hurt by man.
Yeah, that in particular, Mowgli's dad burnt his eye off his face. But.
But get over it. No, but we talked about this. We're watching it. Shere Khan went in the cave. He chased the man down.
He was his own fault. So
he's asking for
it. He's victim blaming, I think. He's victim blaming Mowgli's.
Also, Mowgli's dad died. So he was the murderer.
Yeah.
He came out better out of that exchange.
He lost an eye, but he won the fight, you know? He killed a man.
I just feel like I, like, get it that animals might have a problem with humans, should I?
Okay. But you do understand that these are talking animals. They're basically human. What do you think's going on here as well? Danielle and I were talking about this during the film. Because Mowgli can talk to all the animals. If we were there, would he just be growling?
Yeah, not all of them, because remember he asked that little thing.
Oh, he's like, do you have a language?
Languages?
Do you have a language? Right.
I was thinking about this, and I guess like from our perspective, we're just the only animals that are smart enough and have the big enough brain to be able to speak.
Oh, here we go. Arrogant.
So if you just bring
you sound like Evan now.
So if you just bring that down to another level, then it makes sense that all like the tiny animals with tiny brains can't talk, but then the bigger ones can.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm a neurosurgeon as well, so I would listen to me.
So the little, you said the little things he can't talk to them, but he'll talk to like the tiny little thing covered in scales and the porcupine.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
That
you've just been made a fool of, Naomi.
The pangolin. I must have missed that.
Somebody who thinks they're an intellectual over there.
Looking, I was being a goose at the time.
Was it a talking goose?
Huh? What?
Was it a talking goose?
What are you talking?
Aren't you two playing the same game?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
He's asking because the goose is smaller.
You're talking about
they talk.
Yeah.
He was addressing the thing you were talking about. So right. I can see why that might have been confusing.
It's confusing because I know he knew what I was talking about because he was doing the same thing.
Right, sorry.
Thanks for apologizing, Evan.
This film was loved by critics on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a 95% fresh rating.
Are you serious?
And an 86% rating from the audience.
Boring.
So loved by
so
critics.
Boring.
Well, often what great films are boring. I know that it's a great film. If I'm bored, I'm watching it going, oh, this must be good.
Yeah.
That's true. I've seen Aviator.
Why would it have been made otherwise? Like I watched this one about First Man on the Moon last year, and it was so boring. The most boring experience I've ever had in a cinema. And critics loved it. So I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Boring equals good. I get it.
Actually, yeah, one movie I really like has a 4-minute shot of Rooney Mara just eating a pie.
That's good
just
cinema.
One shot.
That's art.
Yeah.
What film is that?
Ghost Story?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Pie Edition.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So does that surprise you? How did you? Well, I mean, we'll talk about ratings soon, but generally, I know Naomi hated it. Danielle, what did you think compared to the original?
I think the original has more rewatch value as a kid. I think this is quite boring.
Yeah, it's way slower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel similar to The Lion King. Like I really hated The Lion King, and I don't hate this one as much because at least they did something a bit different, whereas The Lion King remake was so similar to the animated version, just worse and more expensive.
But brutal.
Whereas this was also, you know, longer and worse, but
you really summed it up there.
There's no chance that a bit of nostalgia because you liked the original when you were kids?
Not for me, weirdly.
That's right, because you hated both, though. You know what yeah. I mean? They loved one and thought this wasn't as good. You thought they were both equally bad, right?
Well.
Or not equally.
I don't know. I didn't really pay much attention
okay.
to this.
Okay. Well, your opinion is important.
I don't know. I think it's quite boring. I think it doesn't have like a lot of the fun that the like more kids one has.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like the vultures or things like doing silly jokes with each other.
Did the elephants right. sing?
No, no. I loved that elephant song in the original. That was one of my favorite things. And the elephants look sick in this.
Yeah.
But they didn't sing. They didn't even talk.
Is it the same as Snake? The Snake didn't sing either.
Oh, Snake was in it way less as well, right?
Just creepy. Yeah. And also, so much creepier.
Well, I first of all, the one in the original is like definitely a pedophile, right?
Winnie the Pooh, yeah. Winnie the Pooh the Snake.
Yeah.
What?
Just yuck.
Played by the same voice.
Yeah,
just yuck. But then the Scarlett Johansson, I thought she phoned it in, if I'm honest. Did you think that as well?
She probably literally did.
It's like she so she woke up from a nap and was like, all right, let's knock this out.
Well, I think she was trying to be like just soothing in the voice to keep you mesmerized because she's
a lot of the work was done with the echo effect, I think.
Yeah.
Or whatever that was, that reverb thing they put on it. That was doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, but you know what I mean? She's playing. Don't you think she shouldn't play a snake? You know, she thinks she can play a tree. Did you read that quote?
she can play any animal or tree.
Or tree.
She plays a really good computer in Her.
Wow, she can do it all.
She really
That's good
can.
Acting.
So and she plays a computer in Lucy as well.
She's played two computers. One snake.
That's why she thinks she can play a tree. Yeah. She's like, I've played a freaking USB, man. I can do it all.
Wow.
Scarlett Johansson for me was the only one that sort of stood out to me in an otherwise really great cast. I mean, obviously Christopher Walken is a very deliberate.
Oh, stood out to you in a way that she was
the one
took
woman.
You out of it sort of thing.
I just sent Evan into a spiral.
What about
I just like I just trashed Scarlett Johansson's performance. Now Evan's panicking.
She was not the only woman.
But it's
Lupita well, she's Nyong'o the only woman that I looked up to see when I wasn't hungry.
What about the mum?
Yeah, that was Lupita.
What mum?
Yeah.
The mum, the wolf mum.
Wolf mother.
Oh, right.
Raksha?
Wolf mother. I love them.
And wolf father was in it.
Akela.
Huh?
Yeah, that was fun. Does he die in the original like that?
Akela.
I think maybe, yeah.
She can't throw him off a cliff.
He was voiced by Gus Fring.
Gus Fring?
Gus Fring.
That's not a real thing.
No, that's the big character from Breaking Bad that I'm rewatching at the
moment to
catch up for the film that's
Gus
coming out.
Gus Fring.
You know, the big meth guy.
Oh,
in
yeah,
Breaking
yeah.
Bad. You've seen
guy.
Breaking Bad. You've all seen Breaking Bad?
I've seen it. I've seen the first couple of seasons.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I don't want to watch a grumpy old man do meth.
He doesn't do meth. He makes
meth. And I've been watching some other guy just say the word bitch a bunch of times. That's basically what
you,
that show
okay,
is,
you don't get it. I don't think you get it.
I don't get it. I've seen Better Call Saul.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Gus Fring is in there.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Imagine just watching the spin-off.
I've only watched the spin-off.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
I've seen the first few seasons of Breaking Bad, and I thought it was pretty good. People did love it, but yeah, I should go. I just haven't seen The Sopranos.
I also haven't seen
over
that.
Here.
I need to watch that.
Yeah. You need to. And The West Wing.
So Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley, yeah. He's Panthera. Pantera? Bagheera.
Bagheera, yes.
I looked this up. Well, I didn't look it up. It found me when I was reading about the movie. You know, panthers, they're just leopards. They're not a different species. They're just a black leopards. So you got spotted leopards. There's a bunch of different ones. Apparently, they're the most far-spread big cats.
Wow. They're all over the world. Snow leopards as well.
Snow leopards, yeah.
What kind of leopard would you be?
Oh, great question. I'd probably be the... Because I've seen it most recently, the Bagheera Black Panther, also Spanish for panther is Pantera, right. One of the greatest metal bands of all time, as you would know.
Yes.
I think I'd be the whitest one.
Oh.
Snow you leopard? Look is so sad about it.
I think that means you have to live in the snow. Are you a snowman?
No, I'm not a snowman, actually. I don't like the cold.
Well, you've made a horrible choice because you were cursed to live that
cold.
Life forever.
You could just be an albino the one in the warm. Maybe that could happen.
Yeah, Evan, how about that? Talking.
What, he wants to be a panther, but he must be white.
Well, he said he's got to be the whitest one. I'm sorry, I was just trying to facilitate his goals, Naomi.
But if you were a snow leopard, you probably wouldn't feel the cold. So maybe that's the best thing for you.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I need.
You could be a snow leopard in a mild climate.
Yeah.
At the Melbourne Zoo.
At the Melbourne Zoo.
You could be a snow leopard at the Melbourne Zoo. We could give you some enriching snow for you to play around.
What does that mean?
They just put snow in there, and they call it enriching snow.
Oh, I don't like that
because it makes their lives richer.
Enriching is just so to keep them from being bored.
Is that something right, Mary Kondo got onto, or what? Where's that from? Enriching.
The
Mary
zoo?
Kondo's she's like a.
Oh,
a guru.
I know who Marie Kondo is.
She's a house guru.
Trust me, I've tried to Marie Kondo my house 4 times, and it just always ends up with piles of junk all over the house until my boyfriend gets mad and puts it away.
I haven't seen any of her stuff, but I do know that you can say her name, and sometimes that gets a laugh.
Yeah,
not in that case, but I had a crack at it. You know,
fair enough.
She's such an influence on me. It's like seeing Beyonce and just expecting that to get a laugh. Do you know what I mean?
Beyonce, who played Nala in The New Lion King.
Which Evan hated.
He really hated. He really laid into it on a previous episode.
She didn't give a good performance in the voice acting. But obviously
which is
amazing
nearly
in the songs.
All...
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I think of singing as voice acting.
Wait, so were the songs... you said the songs weren't good.
What?
The Lion King.
Oh, yeah. No way.
So really? Beyonce did a bad job for the Lion King song.
Beyonce sang one original. Song and it was an original and it was not as good as any of the others.
Oh.
Which were worse than originals. Yeah, Evan really laid the boots in.
I think the Lion King 2 has so the best bad. Songs anyway.
It does have good songs,
Danielle's
yeah.
just saying that because she has she wants to bang one of the lions in
yeah,
Lion
sure.
King 2.
I have a crush on Kovu from the Lion King 2.
She thinks he's hot.
But all the songs from the Lion King 2 are better than songs from the Lion King 1.
Yeah.
Like in Yupendi,
yes.
Where the passion fruit grows sweet, or deception.
Oh yeah,
disgrace.
Wow, have you seen
evil as plain as the scar on his face?
Oh, we've got to do that goodness. Film. Is
it's
Rafiki
so good.
In it?
Probably.
There's
got to
be some kind of.
I mean, we
here,
could
right?
do all of them because there's the Lion King 1, the Lion King 2, the Lion King 2.5, or the Lion King 1.5, sorry, is also good.
Lion King 1.5.
Lion King 1.5 got a great song in it. Dig a tunnel, dig a tunnel. Dig a tunnel, dig a big tunnel.
What's that one about?
Dig a tunnel, dig a tunnel. Quick before the hyena comes. Clear.
Is that Pumbaa?
It's Timon and Pumbaa's adventure leading up to the Lion
right.
King.
Okay.
Right. Mm. They're not. And did they? Were they able to keep Nathan Lane? The other guy stuck with it for all of them. I think he's
I
even
think
in the video game.
It's the same voices.
Yeah. Right.
It
well
seems
done.
Good. Respect. That's So Raven did. I mean, the lady from That's So Raven, Raven Simone, did a
that's
cover of Dig a Tunnel.
The lady from That's So Raven. I think her name was
Sue.
Sue. Yep.
Yeah. There's also that Beneath a Blood Red Sky song, which is great too.
Oh.
The villain song. All
right. That's I haven't watched it in so long, Lion King 2.
You must rewatch it.
There's a verse in When the Saints Go Marching In that I think talks about the blood red sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's badass. I wish the Saints Footy Club got to that third verse. They never do. Only singing after wins, so.
Oh, brutal. Sorry.
Cop that, my team. Nah, we go all right. Hey, 9 wins this year. Anyway, Gigantopithecus has a Britannica page. You want to hear a bit about it?
Britannica? Sure.
Britannica.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I've gone to the top.
Is that like encyclopedias?
Yes. They've gone online. Yeah, they've moved with the times.
That's good.
But I do have the book version in front of me. But I'll just let you know they also have gone online. So Gigantopithecus, the extinct apes, apparently they lived 2.6 million years ago until 11,700 years ago. So they're way more fresh than you were giving them credit for, Danielle. You said 100,000 years.
Yeah, I thought I said that, but I don't know. Maybe I read wrong. Wikipedia is always wrong. Don't trust it. That's what I hear.
Apparently Wikipedia is more accurate than like a Britannica because it's
yeah,
more,
I was going to say, I think I would trust Wikipedia.
Let me double check that I read it right then. Let's fact check you.
That's where I think it might have been user error.
But apparently they were in southern China. They're considered to be a sister genus of Pongo, which apparently is what orangutans are under that. Genus Pongo.
Pongo?
Yeah.
Isn't that the dog from 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah, apparently is an orangutan.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that wild?
We should do that film.
Danielle,
do you want to hear?
Yes, I do.
It says the Gigantopithecus is an extinct genus of ape that existed from perhaps 9 million years to as recently as 100,000 years ago.
I reckon someone's vandalized the Wikipedia page.
Well, did you just hear what they said, Evan? It's more accurate.
Such different numbers.
But it's susceptible to people.
Sure, I could change it, but. Well, everybody's right when they want to be. Mind you, what I think.
Okay.
We're all right.
Did you know that the talking animals in this movie were created using animal behaviour? Then having the actors and actresses copy these movements in motion capture visual effects. Is that true?
So it wasn't just tennis balls.
So
it was people
suits.
In suits.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the actor's problem.
I didn't realise that was the case. But there you go.
Was Andy Serkis involved in this?
No, he was in... He did Mowgli.
Oh, that's right. He did Mowgli, yeah.
What did you think of Bill Murray? He voiced Baloo, the big bear.
I feel like that's a great casting choice.
Yeah, I thought it was very good as well. I know he's been semi-cancelled.
Yeah.
Has he really? What did he do?
We all look at Naomi.
Allegedly.
No, I know.
When did you do
just
it
look
and
it
why?
Up. I don't think he was a very good husband.
Oh, but most people aren't, right?
I mean, it's a hard job.
Just look it up before you.
Oh, okay.
Before you're
like, we're all like that.
I've done all of those things as well. yeah, but I mean, he's very good at acting, and that was enough to get away with stuff until recently. So, you know, I thought his character was good. I did feel like when he arrived, I could picture cinemas being like sighing with relief collectively, like, oh, a bit of fun's about to happen.
Yeah.
Because until that point, it was pretty slow.
Yep.
And then there was this whole scene about him getting Mowgli to fetch him honey from up a cliff top.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Poor bees. Am I right?
Very manipulative behaviour from the bear.
He was quite different to the original bear. Yeah. The original bear was sort of a dopey, fun time guy.
He was like a fun uncle.
But this version of him was more like a manipulative, fun time guy.
Yeah,
just like Bill Murray.
Yeah. He's hardly even acting at all. They were just recording him as he was walking around the streets. Like, we could use all of this. It's making that boy get honey from the cliff. Let's write that into the film.
I can imagine that story about Bill Murray as well. I'm like, I was walking through the forest. There's Bill Murray. He's like, get up that tree. I'm like, okay. I loved Cracker Jack.
You know, it was Jim Henson's birthday yesterday, Naomi. You familiar with his work? He's the
Puppeteer?
Muppets guy. Yeah, yeah. And apparently,
congratulations to him. I mean, happy birthday. I forgot which thing to say.
Congratulations on the birthday, even though you're quite a while dead now.
Oh, okay.
The animal characters were motion captured and performed live on set by puppeteers from the Jim Henson Company. For the on-set performances, Jim Henson's Creature Shop built elaborate life-size puppets to act alongside Mowgli and serve as eyeline. So that
okay. Maybe the kids' acting wasn't so good.
I mean, they're still puppets.
But he was told by Bill Murray that they were real, you know, and he believed Bill.
So he's an idiot.
So Bill was like, I'm a bear.
I'm a bear.
I'm not a man in here.
Yeah.
I'm a bear.
I'm a bear in here.
I'll kill you.
This puppet around me is just my clothes on the top of me, the real bear inside. You were saying, I didn't notice this, Danielle, but you said that they were really inconsistent with the
sizing. Yeah. It seemed weird. Like sometimes Mowgli would be like half the size of Baloo, and in the next scene he'd be like the size of Baloo's thumb.
Yeah, right.
It was so weird how big he, like Baloo would change.
He ballooned in size. Out, didn't he, in size? Yeah.
Very good. Are you happy with yourself? No. You looked like you had a sparkle in your eye.
Oh, well, it was actually my soul dying. But yeah, I didn't notice that at all. So I'm glad I didn't, because that would have been real frustrating.
I mean, that could be on me, though. Maybe it wasn't and I was just
annoyed.
Maybe
it's just perspective. Maybe he was just closer to the camera sometimes.
So they do with Tom Cruise.
Mm. Yeah. They just put him closer to the camera.
Yeah, and you're like, that guy's huge.
He's actually pocket size. He's standing on the lens cap. He's on the whatever the lens thing is, Evan. Evan's got distracted.
Lens. What's the lens? Reading his diary.
The lens rim. He's rimming on the lens. Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I'm rimming on the lens.
What were you actually asking?
I reckon we
if
got
Tom
it.
Cruise were tiny and were to just stand in the rim of the lens.
The rim of the lens,
so
right.
So that he looks normal size.
Yeah.
What is the technical term?
Well, you know, you could put him in the matte box maybe, or...
Yeah, in the matte box.
If you're using one.
That's where I sit.
Yeah.
Or just, like, stick him to the front element of the lens.
What, like glue him?
Yeah. Glue him on. Blue tack.
Sorry, Evan was distracted.
He's tiny.
He's tiny. You don't need a lot of blue tack. Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to focus on him, but...
So he does all his own stunts. You know, when it looks like he's jumping over a cliff, he's actually just jumping over a bucket.
Yeah, but it's still impressive because of his relative size.
Yeah, so don't look at him like, oh, you're just jumping over a bucket. Anyone can do that. You try and do it when you're Tom Cruise's size. How big is he? He's not that small.
He's like 5'6", isn't he? Something like that.
Tiny.
That's how tall are you?
5'1".
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's
the defense rests, Your Honor.
Tom Cruise, height 1.7 meters.
That's 1.7. Taller than me.
Oh, that's a lie.
That's tall.
Sorry, that's a lie.
Oh.
I don't believe it at all.
You reckon Cruise wrote that himself? Or Favreau?
Favreau.
Favreau wrote that. Jeez, he spends a lot of time writing on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, it says he's 5'7". That's not, I'm 5'4".
That'd be real average height for his generation, I would have thought. But I also think that's real common for Hollywood stars to be smaller because...
They got to fit him in the shot. It's only a little tiny lens you got to see.
They got to save money on costume material.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, they got to fit him in small studios.
Yeah. You just get tiny men, tiny women.
It's much same as...
I'm looking at two photos of Tom Cruise next to Katie Holmes here. On one, Katie Holmes is way taller and she's wearing smaller heels than in the next one. They look the same height.
They've length. I think
he's definitely got
stilts.
Secret lifts in his shoes.
I love all those photos of Robert Downey Jr. with all his heel shoes.
Oh, he wears heels?
Have you seen that? Oh, my God. Robert Downey, let me find them. They're so funny when you go see them all. Robert Downey.
I wonder why that is, because it does seem pretty common that that male leads are often more petite.
Regular people.
People they play against.
They cost less.
Because they often have to stand on boxes and stuff.
Yeah, right.
Robert.
It's about talent.
Robert De Niro does some good photos of him.
Always
recently
got little heels
stilts.
On.
Yeah, right.
Mowgli in this film is actually 7 foot tall. So they also had to do some.
The little boy.
The little boy. Wow. Yeah, they had to digitally shrink him. So that weird. So all the animals had to be way bigger. And they didn't fix that, all of that up, and that's what led to Danielle noticing.
So I was right.
Yeah, and that thing I just made up. Yep.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Sorry, I was looking at Robert Downey Jr.'s shoes. Sorry, I was stuck.
Apparently, do you like this? I love sort of pointless Easter eggs, and we've already talked about a couple, but this one maybe is even better than those. Mowgli has a scar on the right side of his chest, which looks like an R, and also has a scar on his left shoulder, which looks like a K. This is a nod to author Rudyard Kipling.
That's the most obvious nod in the history of. We branded the child with his initials. Have it carved in a tree in the background somewhere.
So funny.
Wait, so does that mean they had to apply makeup to give him little scars
every day?
Just to be like,
yeah, so pointless.
Hey, it's a beautiful nod. You know what is also a beautiful nod? They've got his name in the credits.
Yeah.
Based on the characters of Rudyard Kipling, that's a pretty good Easter egg.
Probably also the money that would be sent to his estate.
Yeah.
That's a nice little nod, I thought. Nice touch.
Hey, look, maybe it was just part of the contract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Boy must be scarred in my name.
The book was written in the 1800s, so I feel like it might even be public domain because Disney don't own the rights to it. They probably own the rights to King Louis, I suppose, because they made him up. But I think that's why you see like real cheap versions of it. No, King Louis wasn't there. That was way more book accurate.
And no songs.
No songs. There were no songs in the book.
What was the story then?
You know, when
boy runs away.
It was
boy
way
comes
more
back.
Full on. Like there was a cute little dog. Who? Anyway, I mean, watch it.
Do the animals?
You know, I won't. To watch a little dog die.
Do the animals talk
by
in the
surprise
book, or is
well.
That a Disney?
No, I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine if they didn't.
It's just him going.
It's just a guy walking around.
Well,
having conversations with himself, which I guess is probably what really happens. Yeah, that's true. They were entertained by a lot less back then. They used to sit and watch radios. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they were invented then, maybe gramophones.
Mm.
Two cans with a string in between.
Audio is a dead medium.
Apparently over 2,000 children auditioned worldwide for the role of Mowgli.
How many?
Over 2,000.
Wow.
In his first audition, newcomer Neil Sethi won the role. His was among the last auditions director Jon Favreau saw. Neil began work 2 weeks after the offer.
Surely
because they
like,
saw him and they were like,
"Yeah, you remember because he's last."
Yeah, it's always in the last place.
Oh, thank God! 2,000 shit kickers.
Before that, it was all old men. No, you are not right at all.
They're white.
Old white men. Oh yeah, I went in for it. I thought. Yeah, Mowgli, okay. I'm talking to a dog now.
Hey, you got to put yourself out there.
All right, I'm talking to a dog. Yep, okay, next. All right, now I'm talking to a big cat, okay? And I could not believe I didn't get a call back.
You look different in the photo you sent them.
Yeah, that's right. I look more boyish.
Can we get an updated photo?
It was taken 50 years ago.
I sent him a photo of the cartoon version of Mowgli, and they're like, yeah, this is nearly exactly what we want. And they said, yeah, they said I look a bit different in IRL. In IRL. IIRL.
IIRL.
I don't drink a lot of coffee.
You buzzing?
I'm buzzing,
You're
man.
You buzzing. All right.
Woo!
And now
a reading from Evan's journal.
I didn't write many notes.
Dear diary, one of my favourite things about Andy is that he loves cowboys and spacemen.
Spacemen.
Showing the dichotomy of man.
I wrote.
It's beautiful, Evan.
Also, I hate Scarlett Johansson.
I
prefer Bo Peep as a feminine hero.
She was good in the...
She was very good.
Yeah, she was good in the new one.
She was.
Yeah, that was sick. She was a great character.
Yeah.
Real
woman.
Someone is writing a PhD about
doll.
The evolution of culture via the four Toy Stories, I reckon. The first one, nearly no female characters. By the last one, the sort of the hero is a woman.
And the villains turned fine person.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No, spoilers.
Sorry to spoil it for you. They've seen it.
Yeah.
If you were gonna see it, you've seen it.
Yeah, that is true.
I had the ghost story with the guys who sees ghosts all along. I had that spoiled like 10 years after it came out. I'm sucks. I might have seen that someday.
Are you talking about The Sixth Sense?
Yeah. I got away with not hearing about it for so long. Now you can't go a week without someone mentioning it.
It's so like weird how it still comes reference.
Up. Why am I talking about it now? You know what I mean? It's like we're cursed to always talk about this movie that was from probably before you were born.
I had seen like this. I think there's like three distinct memories, like three distinct things that I knew from 50 First Dates. Has a spoiler in it. The Lonely Island song "Jizz in My Pants" has a spoiler.
Does
in it? Yeah.
In the end, the jizz
when
was
Bruce
in our
Willis
hearts
was dead at the end of Sixth Sense. I jizzed.
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought you meant the song. There was something that you
there's
could
like a
spoil
twist.
It.
Oh yeah.
At the end of "Jizz in My Pants," there's a big reveal.
You didn't catch the twist. Very M. Night Shyamalan "Jizz in My Pants."
But it's funny because I didn't even question that 50 First Dates had a big twist at the end, which it kind of does, I guess.
No, it just has it's like every night they have to watch Sixth Sense because yeah. She bought them the VHS the day before.
Right.
And then it's like they have to act surprised.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha.
I haven't seen that.
Do you want
to
read?
I would fucking hate to watch that movie over and over again. I've not seen it, but it doesn't seem like a movie that would interest me.
The Sixth Sense or 50 First Dates?
The Sixth Sense.
Okay.
I did. I was like,
oh, I meant 50 First Dates.
I'd love to watch 50 First Dates every night.
Surely more than 50 times.
Have you seen Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
Was that spoiled before you watched it?
I don't remember.
Don't spoil it because I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
It's so good if you don't know the. Well, I mean,
are
I don't
there
know
any
if
it primates in it?
Oh, I wish.
I mean, can't even
humans.
Remember.
Humans, Evan,
but
your favorite.
I remember I saw it like a long time after it came out, and I was like, wow, this is cool. And everyone else is like, you didn't know?
It's cool. I'm not going to mention it because I hate it when people say, there's a twist. If you know there's a twist, then the whole time you're wondering, well, what's going to happen?
Oh,
but
no,
I've had that happen with another movie too.
Forget what I said. There's no
twist. But I'm not
going to
mention
a twist.
I mean, damn if it. There's a twist, I can't remember it.
Okay.
Obviously, Shawshank Redemption didn't rub off on me very well.
Yeah, well.
Cinematic masterpiece. But I remember every word of 50 First Dates. Evan, you had something to say.
It used to be.
This is not going
to
be worth it.
For a long time, like in AFL footy records, they do player Q&As and they'd ask, what's your favourite movie? And nearly every week, it'd be Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, right.
I was like, AFL players only answer for that. For the favourite film.
Right.
So that's how you know it's good.
I think for
that's
my generation, so it's Fight Club.
Yeah, Fight Club.
Always.
And then before that,
I'm
was Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Modern day.
Fight Club.
What would kids of today?
Why can every man just fully misinterpret Fight Club every time? Afterwards, they're always like, I'm going to start a Fight Club. And I'm like, they blew up the entire city and killed everyone. And they're like, that's fucking sick. I want to fuck Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What was your take?
I want to be Helena Bonham Carter.
Evan, you got something in your diary there.
Oh, man. I wrote, it's like John Favreau went to the zoo and
sorry,
thought...
Sorry, Evan, could you start it with Dear Diary?
Dear Diary. It's like John Favreau went to the zoo and thought, if these wolves could talk.
That was worth it.
Wow,
that's
yes.
Like is that a pun?
That's a pun, yeah.
Well
yeah.
done.
I wrote a pun?
Yeah, it's a pun on if walls could talk. If these walls could talk. It's like if these wolves could talk.
Because it has some of the same letters in the word.
And it sounds kind of, wolves sounds like walls a little bit.
Puns are confusing. I also don't understand them, Naomi, so don't feel ashamed.
Did you know that when ancient Egyptians used to write about dreams and what like symbols meant, they used puns?
What?
I just thought it was amazing to learn that people were fucking basic back then too. I was like, oh, we've always been pathetic.
You're as basic as the pharaohs ever.
I wrote one note in my phone as well. Should I read that out? And should I say Dear Diary at the start as well?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Dear Diary. They call fire the red flower. That's what I call my pussy.
It did remind me of periods. Do you know what I mean? I feel like there's definitely people out there that's like, oh, I've got the red flower at the moment.
Yuck.
Danielle, how dare
you? No, I mean calling it the red, because that would just, I mean, now, because, you know, I think of, like, you know, when you get, you know, when you get the flowers and then sometimes you get, like, something that's got a lot of, like, on the stamens, the seeds that cause a mess.
Oh, yeah, that's the clots.
Oh.
Once the, I like euphemisms for periods, but often I reckon, like, I remember the first time I was on a date with someone and she goes, just got to let you know, the painters and decorators are in or something like that. I had no idea what she was talking about until she had to spell it out, I think,
she
later
just
on.
She did say she got a period. That's yeah, way better.
I know. It was but a different she, time. But, this is 10 years ago or something.
It's also so awkward because she's like, I can't fuck you tonight. That's basically what she's saying, right?
I guess so.
I feel like why'd Aunt Irma is... People where Irma. I was from used to say, I got Aunt Irma's here today. That's what my friends
Aunt
used to
Irma?
Say. Aunt Irma's around.
Isn't it Aunt Flo?
No, they would say Aunt Irma. Maybe
why
Aunt
Irma?
Maybe they thought Aunt. Maybe they thought Flo was too,
yeah,
like obvious. They say Aunt Irma. I don't know.
I can't remember ever using any sort of euphemism beyond like it's that time of the month.
Oh.
Oh, there was one good one. I think someone said it to my boyfriend once. No, or maybe he heard it from someone else. This woman came up. Oh, it's so bad. She said, much like that woman said, the painters and decorators are in. She said...
She might have said something about red paint.
She said, I'm bleeding out of my...
No, she said...
out of my red flower.
I'm on my blobs.
Oh, yuck.
But you can stick it up my shitter or something.
Oh, my,
oh my God. Who said that?
I'm going to say someone didn't say it to Mark, but that's still possible. Well, someone said it to someone he knows.
There's nothing more alluring than saying you can stick it up the shitter.
She's on her blobs.
I've never heard.
Oh, man.
Because shitter means toilet.
Maybe it was pooper.
Oh, pooper. Now I'm with you.
I can't. I'm not 100% sure on that second part, but it's definitely I'm on my blobs.
Blops.
Blops.
Is that onomatopoeic?
Blops.
Yeah.
Blop, blop, blop,
yeah.
Blop.
Blops is short for Black Ops, like Call of Duty Black Ops.
Oh, yeah. That's, blops. That's what it means. Mm. I'm on
which
my blobs.
Which is just as fun as my period, so that makes sense.
So how did you all feel about this film? As
why
a banana,
trying to change the subject?
No, we can stick in this for a while.
No, that's okay.
There were so many cute animals.
There were a lot of cute animals. Yeah. Way more than the original, probably. There were heaps of monkeys, different kinds of monkeys. The monkeys weren't as evil as in the first one. They were just sort of monkeys in this.
Were there cute monkeys? I wasn't really paying attention to it.
Yeah, there was a cute one because there was a tiny monkey crawling around in Christopher Walken's coat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he sort of
that
flicked
looked real
off.
Real fake.
That was a little cute one. Yeah, that bit wasn't fully believable.
Yeah, I think they did it with a CG.
Oh, right.
Really? They didn't use a real giant antipodean?
Gigantopithecus?
Gigantopithecus.
Did you see when Walken was singing that song? And he...
Yeah.
And he was... They had to figure out some... They made new verses to it, so he was calling himself Gigantopithecus. And he... So the rhymes were real obviously coming. He goes... Nothing will be more magnificus than being a gigantopithecus.
Right, because I didn't know he was a gigantopithecus, and I was like, what?
What's this gibberish he's
why
doing?
Why are they making up words?
So, how many bananas would you give this film?
Out of
however big a bunch you see a bunch being.
Okay. I reckon a typical bunch of bananas is probably like, Seven,
yeah. I'm
four on the out, three on the inner.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like spooning.
And I reckon I'd give it three bananas.
Three bananas. How ripe are they?
They're not ripe at all because I like a ripe banana that's like starting to get a bit speckled.
Yeah.
It's like
so it's overripe.
Like, well, no, to me that's perfectly ripe.
Oh, I see.
Evan, thank
ripeness
you very much.
Ripeness is in the eye of the beholder.
It's whatever is perfect to you is ripe.
Yeah, right, okay.
So I would like mine
so beautiful.
Yellow, beautiful. Starting to get a few speckles so that there's not that sort of like crunchy interior. It's like soft inside, but
no
not too soft.
Not too soft.
You know, it's perfect.
Yeah. So, inside. Yeah, it's a pretty good, yeah.
Well, no, but these bananas are not.
Oh, ripe. They're
still
oh,
a bit
right.
greeny.
Right.
Three
okay.
green
my favorite
bananas.
Is when they just lose the green, so probably a little bit crisper than you.
So just like bright yellow.
Bright yellow.
With no flavor in them yet.
Yuck. You like flavor? Unless I'm making a smoothie and soften it up. But
bananas
otherwise,
taste gross.
Yeah. I'm just doing it
the
for the...
The best banana is no banana. Yeah.
Doing it for the a little bit of fiber, a little bit of potassium, that's it.
Well, the bananas in the apes or monkeys in this didn't eat any bananas.
Yeah.
They ate
pawpaws
or monkeys or something.
Yeah, they ate pawpaws. But he also had a bit of a shot at them being called papayas, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't like that.
He did not like that. Because he said he liked the onomatopoeic nature of it, the sound it makes hitting the ground. Pawpaw.
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 Pawpaw. Isn't it interesting that pawpaw isn't just a lip cream? You know, it actually starts out as a fruit.
Yeah, right.
That's something I learned during this film.
My dad used to eat pawpaws all the time. Yuck.
They make the fruit out of the lip balm.
I'm pretty sure.
That makes sense. Hmm. That makes sense to me. Evan, what do you reckon?
Just say what you feel.
Well, I don't know how I feel about this film. I mean, I didn't have the rage that I had with The Lion King, where I was just like, I hated it. So, but I also didn't really feel anything really. But there were moments where I liked it.
Okay.
Where I thought, you know, Mowgli had some cute moments, and you know, there's some weird stuff. I don't know. It just feels a bit sort of nothing to me.
Right. Did you know that this is the film that led to the new Lion King being made?
Because
this was a success. Favreau said,
yeah, I figured. Yeah, said, let's it feels make like the next Lion King. The next step. Yeah, it just keep getting worse and worse. I
just give us a number.
I don't know. I'll give it a 3 out of 6.
Yep.
Bananas out of 6 bananas.
3 out of 6 bananas out of 6 bananas.
Yeah.
Okay. 3 out of 6 bananas out of 6. My brain can't quite handle that.
It's like a 3-dimensional array.
Right, it's babushka bananas.
Maybe some water.
Naomi, how about you?
No bananas.
None.
Because it's something I wish I didn't consume.
Okay.
And I like to consume bananas, but I don't want to consume this. I didn't want to. I think they took the original film, which if you go back and listen to the episode, I remember complaining about there being no plot and it just being a mechanism for songs, which is fine if you're a kid.
Yeah.
So they took out some of the songs and then added half an hour to the movie.
Yeah, I feel like this
is... more of nothing.
It just feels so weird as a kid's film. It's like The Lion King as well. It's like... It's a kid's film, or at least a family film, but they've taken out a lot of the stuff that would be appealing to kids, I think. Like,
yeah, you mean fun?
Well, yeah. Like the songs, the colour, the...
I think Baloo was pretty fun still.
Yeah,
the bee stuff was a bit of fun.
Yeah, it wasn't
him
as
in the
bad
river
as,
was kind of fun.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad
you
as the
one... squirted water at him, huh? Kids?
I'm not saying there was no fun in there. And you know the cute wolves are nice.
Yeah,
kids would love. Kids would be creaming over those wolves.
The cute animals.
Oh my god, Evan!
Oh my god, Evan! What? And they'd have a 6-pack as well. Evan, come on, man.
That was so upsetting.
Really gross.
So you, yeah. What about there was the cute animals who came out to see Baloo manipulating Mowgli into climbing that wall? There was the pangolin or whatever they're called, and a few others. They go
the what?
Pangolin.
Pangolin, what is it?
A peccary?
Penguin?
Peccary? A porcupine?
Pangolin.
Pengumbin.
Is pangolin not a real thing? Yeah, these things.
Oh, yeah, that thing. I thought that was like an anteater or something.
That's fine. I have no memory of that.
He was in it a bit, the pangolin.
That's cute, though.
Too busy honking.
Okay, sorry. That's not a euphemism. You were...
No, right. Literally walking around as a little goose honking.
Wow, that's sick.
In a game.
Yes. Which we're reviewing on Gamey Gamey Game.
Yeah.
She was literally walking around as a little goose honking.
Well,
not in a game.
It inspired me.
I reckon I give it, I don't know, like 3 out of 6 pretty okay bananas. And
if you have us on again...
Yeah.
Can we please, for the love of God, do something
Lion
other
King
than
2!
Jungle Book? I don't want to watch shitty remake.
Let's do another. I wanted to do an episode about the Donkey Kong family at some point. I found this article. Someone sent me an article that goes through all the family members. We can just talk about them. That actually sounds boring
that
when I say
great.
That.
No, that's better than having to watch a movie.
At least.
Candy Kong and like Cranky,
Cranky
Kong.
Cranky Kong,
all
the Kongs, yeah. Because we've done 2 Donkey Kong related episodes.
Yes.
Oh, did you see, because we did King of Kong.
Yeah.
Did you see that Billy Mitchell was in
yeah.
Australia?
Are you talking about the thing that I tagged you in?
Yep. And I missed him. He was in Brisbane.
He was in
Queensland
at the same time as you.
But he'd been at the show at the Ecca the days before.
No.
So I missed him. He won an Australian Kong off.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
At the Ecca, which is celebrating.
Did he just send a video in?
Very good question. Right. I think he is very good at it. Just obviously.
Well, he probably has to be at some skill level.
God, imagine if he was.
Jeez, I want to meet him one day though. He's one of the best fictional characters I've ever come across, and he's real. If you haven't heard it, go back. That episode's so good. We'll watch the film, even better. King of Kong, so good.
And then listen to the podcast.
Yeah. We normally talk about it because Andy told us ages ago that humans and chimpanzees share 98% DNA. We normally talk about how much of ourselves we see. How much of yourself did you see in King Louis? Did any of you see any of yourselves in King Louis?
Size wise,
yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
Yes.
There. Attitude. I get that too. You know, sometimes I just want to set fire to everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So yes,
I'm
going to
say,
Louis.
Like, what did you say?
98% is what we'd share with chimps.
So is that what? So do I have to choose somewhere between 98 and
100? No, anywhere from 0 to 100. We're not Andy Matthews. We're not any kinds of scientists, I don't think.
I'll say like 70%.
70%.
Because of his, you know, he's got ambition.
For destruction.
Watch
the world burn.
Exactly. I like that about him.
Him
Did
and
not
Tyler
like his
Durden
face.
Got a lot in common.
Tyler Durden.
Evan, how about you? Did you see any of it? Obviously, you got the red fur on your face, red hair.
Yeah. I don't have the sack that he's got, the neck sack.
Yeah, you can't
grow
long
one
call.
If you
yeah, grow a sack, Evan. Long call. Danielle, what does it sound like again? That's it. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
You can tell she's a performer.
Yeah. That takes me to the rainforest.
I can record it and put it on some SoundCloud for you.
That'd
so you can play
really
it on repeat if you
like. I'd love to play
like
that.
One of those
going
relaxing
to sleep.
Like rainforest sounds.
That would actually be real fun to record horrible noises of horrible bird noises and things like that.
Just call the album Relax.
Relax.
So then it'll be like, hey Google, put on some relaxing music.
Honk honk.
I'm gonna say like 80%.
He was angrier than the first one had a bit of charm about him. Christopher Walken's one was just more menacing.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Because I don't really remember him being scary in the first one.
He was because I think he was like, I'm a fun guy, but underlying that he's like, I want fire, man.
Yeah.
I want the red flower.
Yeah. There was a lot more jazz to it.
There was
a lot
more
like
it's a great song. I love that song so much.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, they do. They do like the thing on their hand, and they walk around in between.
Oh,
a lot more like.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we watch the? Because in the original, it's Louis.
Guy.
Yeah, Louis, the musician.
Jazz guy.
Yeah, the guy.
Armstrong.
No, Thoreau.
No, they were gonna get him, but then they decided it was racist to have a black man as an ape. So then they. Just
oh, you're
got
saying
a,
the voices.
So then they just got a white guy.
Louis Primer.
Yeah, right.
So they just took the job away from the black guy because
I don't know if that's
racist.
Probably
I'm not
right
sure if that's exactly how it went down.
That's how I remember posing it last time.
I feel like Louis Armstrong wasn't available or didn't want to do it maybe, but there's video of Louis Primer and his band.
Yeah, we watched that.
Record. So fun. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Evan. This time it's just Christopher walking on
a
cowbell.
I would say I'm 30%.
30%, yeah.
Because obviously.
But you sound the
same.
Yeah,
I know, but that's just vocal. You all know, right. I've got a lot 30% different
of you
mentally
is vocal.
Going on.
Yeah.
You know?
You do want an apocalypse to happen, though.
I do want an apocalypse to happen, and I would love to be in control of the fire in an apocalyptic scenario. And yes, I would be hoarding food in my tower away from everybody.
And gongs and bells and cows.
Yeah.
Danielle really wants to live off like the fat of the land, and I'm like, you can just do that without
I
the
world
ending.
I can't do that. I don't have the money to buy a farm. I need everybody to die first. Then I can have my farm.
I mean, you could just save up some money maybe so everyone doesn't have to die.
Well, I'm trying, but I chose a bad industry. I should have studied and gone to work at a bank.
You could have.
I could have. I should have.
Could have been at PwC, retire at 35.
I'd be depressed. I'm so bad. I can't look at computers. You know what I'm like with computers.
Yes.
I reckon you could rock up and get a job at a bank. You can. I think that's just one of those places you can just get in on the ground floor, be a teller, and then
work
your way up.
You don't
want
to get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you want to get on in.
That's like 80 floors in those buildings.
Right. Mm. That's true. Okay, go study.
I want to come in mid 25th floor or something.
Okay. Absolutely. Corner office.
Honestly, what I'd want to do is be like, can I get paid to like design a business card or something?
Oh. So that's just a graphic designer.
Yeah, but at the bank, I don't know. I don't know. Graphic. I feel like you'd get harder jobs if you were a graphic designer than designing the business card. I don't know what I want to do.
Hey, would you
believe
it?
You're right. Apocalypse is easy.
Yeah, then working for a bank. I think you working at a bank is one of the first signs of the apocalypse is coming.
Also, the world's ending anyway, so it'll be great for you.
Yeah.
So this brings us to everyone's favourite section of the show. It's the Patreon shout-out section. You can support the show at patreon.com/dogoonpod and also support shows like the Do Go On Pod and Book Cheat.
What if I want to support Prime Mates but not Book Cheat?
Well, just make it clear somewhere in the message and I'll make sure that Dave gets none of the money.
I'm not supporting any nerds.
I don't think there's a Book Cheat this week, but the Do Go On from this week is about a sex cult from the 1800s called Oneida Community.
Ooh.
I love them.
Yeah. We talked about it live in Sydney.
They're
it was so much fun.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And now they just do cutlery.
Yeah. They evolved into a dinnerware company.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And they're a huge.
You should listen to the bloody episode.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. We did talk about coming a lot. Because they weren't allowed to come as one of the rules.
Are you serious?
Yeah. In the sex cult?
The men weren't allowed to come.
Oh, that's all right.
The men weren't.
Yeah.
That's quite
funny.
Oh,
yes. Queen. Matriarch.
What happened if they did?
You got to suck it back up.
Another thing they did, they had.
Would you do that, like, you know, when you accidentally push too much moisturizer
out
and you sort of like.
Like you'd have to do
manipulate
that.
It to. Okay. So they're just pulling the front back.
Yeah, we can do that.
You've been
there
for ages.
they had group shame sessions and that helped keep people in line.
Shame
sessions. They made it sound a lot better in the. Well, I listened to another podcast about it, but it wasn't a comedy podcast, so they didn't really talk about the coming.
What's your word for coming? That's something we discussed. Mine was. My favorite is probably splooge.
Oh, yuck.
Get out. This is Evan's podcast now. You're banned.
Anyway, listen for more options on this week's Do Go On. Normally at the end of the episode, I thank a few patrons. This is one of the rewards you can get for supporting the Do Go On Podcast Network Patreon. So I'm going to read out three of our supporters and their favorite primates. And firstly, Ruben Maskell says.
It's a great name. Ruben Maskell.
Why do
you know,
love
you
it?
Know how normally how I let someone know they have a nice name is I laugh in their face. Ruben says, I'm so sorry about Evan Ruben. And normally you're his favorite kind of primate, so I don't know what happened there. He says, can't possibly pick a single favourite primate, though I am enamoured by Andy from Toy Story. Mm. But I'd like to shed light on the cotton top tamarin because of its handsome hairdo and luscious fur.
Mm.
Ooh. And he's given us a link to a good pick here. This is good podcast, especially because I don't edit out any sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Pauses.
Oh, yeah, that is cute.
Yeah,
AF.
Can I have a look?
Very good.
Show me.
Not
that's
great,
a blank page,
not great
Amy.
Reception in the
It looks like the professor from Back to the Future.
Oh, Doc.
Weinstein.
Rhodes, where will you go? We won't need no Rhodes. Oh, wow. I've never seen him before. That's amazing. So, yeah, at home, look up the cotton top tamarin. We know the golden lion tamarins, which look like mini lion monkeys, which is sick as well. Tamarins, what great range they
this
have.
This one's got its tongue open.
Oh,
open.
That's an amazing.
Yeah, all right. It's just
they can do
out.
Some pretty wild things. These monkeys. Oh, it's opening its tongue.
All right, everyone.
Thank you so much for that suggestion, Ruben Maskell. Oh. I was going to say not so funny now, but it still is pretty funny to Evan.
I don't know why that's funny. I'm sorry.
Well, I think Ruben. This next name is great as well. So let's see what kind of reaction it gets from Evan.
Let's see how much Evan mocks this.
I'd also love to thank Gabrielle Geigerwolf.
This is what happens when you introduce Evan to anyone. He just starts laughing in their face.
It's a brutal thing. The first time you meet Evan, you say, "Hi, I'm Matt." Check out this guy, Matt. Gabrielle writes, "Hi, my name is Gabby and I'm from Canada. My favourite primate is Zobamufu." We've done an episode about this guy and I still can't say it. Zobamufu. That's not right. It's a lemur puppet character from an American TV kid show. And it was the show she grew up watching. I don't remember too much about the show, but I loved it as a kid and I really wanted to move to Madagascar to live with the lemurs.
Looks terrifying, to be honest.
Yeah, well, not as terrifying as the brothers who host the show.
You know, that looks like a cartoon sheep.
Old school, real enthusiastic kids performer people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Look at them.
Yeah, yeah. They,
yuck.
If you want to hear more about it, me, Jess, and Ben Russell did an episode about it, and we watched an episode, and if you I think it wouldn't have been great fun to listen to if you did like Zobamufu as a kid. Because we did not have any nostalgia for it. I think we might have been a bit mean.
Did you go hard?
Maybe. Which I try not to. But I think this show is more fun when everyone's enjoying the thing we're talking about. So not really like today, for instance. But finally, I'd love to thank, let's see if this goes. Geez. Beatrix Williams.
No, that's fine.
Oh, so you admit that when you laugh, it's not fine.
No, it's just that, like, that's not as funny as Gabby Geigerwolf, right?
Gabby Geigerwolf, so good.
It's a great name.
But Beatrix,
it's not bad.
Beatrix Williams sounds like a rock star name as well. That's nothing.
That's a good name, but it didn't.
Wait, so the others aren't good?
No, they're great.
Oh, they're great. So Beatrix Williams isn't great.
No, they're all great names. They're all great names. They just have different qualities.
Okay.
And some sound funnier than others.
So Beatrix writes, "My favourite primate is the Samango monkey." It sounds delicious. "By far the most elusive of the three monkeys native to South America, where I live. It reminds me of many family holidays when we might just be lucky enough to glimpse some in a tree." Samango monkey.
Yeah, they're kind of cool looking.
Can I have a look?
No.
It's spelled Samango. Whoa. Mm-hmm. That's a fierce head. Whoa,
Where's the neck? Sorry, where's the neck?
I've never...
Yeah, there's not a lot of neck in these guys.
Every episode someone suggests a new kind of monkey that I've never heard of. It's wild how many different kinds of monkeys there are.
Lucky for you, because you made a whole podcast about it.
I really thought this would be over by now. This has been going for over a year.
I remember you telling me about the idea for this podcast, and I was like, okay, all right. That's you. Good on you.
Well, I thought it would last a few months. But anyway... We're still here. And people seem to like it sometimes. And I can prove that to you because here are some reviews. If you give the show a 5-star review, I'll read some of these out on the show. This review is from The Stump Night Rises. And they write, "Chimpanzees are amazing. 5 stars. At a zoo in Indiana, I saw an old..." I don't read these before I read them out, so hopefully they're interesting. I tell them to give me a bit of shit so it doesn't feel like I'm just... praising myself.
We do the same thing on our podcast. Yeah. Okay. But we don't ask for 5, we don't say I'll read out 5-star reviews. We say we'll read out all the reviews. But one time we got a 4-star review and we went hard.
I say, feel free to give me a 4-star review, but do it with a 5-star review. Okay? You know what I mean?
No,
absolutely
give
not.
Give 5 stars
terrible. Always. We harassed that guy until he changed it to a 5-star review.
Well, see, I'm pre-harassing.
Right. That's smart.
Yeah.
Like in Minority Report.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Which is a film.
It Vanilla is. Sky. With Tom Cruise.
Yep.
The Stump Night writes, "At a zoo in Indiana, God. I saw an old grey-haired chimp cupping the balls of another younger chimp as it led the elder up a ramp into the chimp house. This podcast helped to bring that kind of primate brotherhood to light." Love the show, Matt. You monkey touching bastard. Oh, no. Oh, no. Chimps aren't monkeys. They're apes.
He's got it all wrong.
You got one small detail wrong there. This is from Red Curtain. Gives it 5 ripe bananas. Says, love the show. It's the best when Ben Russell is on. Oh,
oh well, well, well.
Sorry.
What the hell?
The hell?
Red Curtain.
Red Curtain, what the hell? I better see some 5-star reviews.
Red Curtain, that's another good name.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, yes.
Oh, the Red Curtains have been drawn.
Yeah.
Bunny.
Drawing the curtains, opening or closing the curtains?
Closing.
Right.
I mean, it's either way, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
No, because closing the curtains would mean you can see the curtains from the street or something. If you open the curtains, they're not there. You can't see them, I guess. I don't know how it works. Sorry, I was trying to make the it work, but it doesn't work. Really, it's just if you say anything's red, it can mean it, anything in, you know.
I'm talking separate two periods.
Draw. You could say the pink Himalayan sea salt's in. You could say that's pink. Pink's near red, I don't know.
Can you just keep going? Because she's falling apart. This will only get worse.
This is from Bunny Wabbit.
Drawing a curtain is to open the curtains.
Oh,
thank God we got to the bottom of that.
Okay. That would have frustrated some curtain kings out there.
And the queens.
Bunny Rabbit writes, love these monkey boys. One of my favorite podcasts. I rate one bunch of perfectly ripe bananas. Keep up the monkey business. Oh, thanks, Bunny Wabbit. Feels funny saying Bunny Wabbit. Anyway. And then finally, Peter Hedqvist writes,
I thought you were going to say Peter Hellier. I was really excited.
Gotcha. 5 stars. Ha! The 5-star loophole has been abused. Please let me, some random guy, do the Pokemon Primeape episode. The Skype door has been opened and I actually know lots of... Oh, you want to be on the show.
Okay, I think you need to call the police based on that.
He knows a lot about Pokemons. DM me. Please don't read this out loud. Then he gives his Twitter handle, which is Peter. All right, I won't read it out. Great show, by the way. Thank you so much, Peter Hedqvist from Sweden.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
It feels like if I do that for you, Peter, this show will fall apart because it'll be nothing but Swedish nerds on Skype telling me about Pokemon. And I don't know if that's what I got into this business for.
My favorite Pokemon.
He's here.
Danielle's so good at accents.
Oh, we got really... Peter on the line. Peter, tell us.
That's another one of my good accents.
That's a Swedish long-calling orangutan. thank you so much for those reviews. So, yeah, if you give us a 5-star review, I will read it out. Feel free to... give me more shit. Some of those were almost too nice, but it felt good to me. But also, it does feel weird.
You know what's funny? We don't ask our listeners to give a shit, but they just do in the reviews anyway.
Naomi harasses them. Also, we threaten to cancel the pod if they don't review.
If there's ever an episode where there's no new reviews, we cancel the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did it a couple episodes ago, and then we got this panicked message, and they were like screenshots. It's like, there are new reviews. Why didn't you see them? So I would just do that if I were you, because then they'll really give it to you.
Okay. Well,
they will fight back.
Okay. What Naomi said is what I want you to do.
Fight back.
Naomi, this is a good...
Come on the Batch Bitch podcast, listen to our show and review that. That's what I want to do.
Great opportunity to plug the show, which you just did.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle, is there anything you want to plug?
Also Batch Bitch, which, by the way, we've finished the latest season of The Bachelor, mm-hmm. and Naomi has said that we have to review a different show until The Bachelorette starts, so we're reviewing The Masked Singer.
Hell yeah, best show I've Batch ever Bitch. Seen in my life.
That's getting a lot of hate.
Oh, everyone loves it because it is a perfect show.
Right.
Are you telling me you don't want to watch Lindsay Lohan have like a camaraderie with Husey?
Sorry, but that is very funny to watch.
It is funny amazing. To watch, yeah.
It's so funny to watch Husey because he never actually guesses. He never tries to actually guess. He's always doing guesses.
So yeah.
He's like,
a...
that's Julia Gillard under there.
Because it doesn't even matter
it's
what they
Mel
guess.
Gibson.
I don't understand. I haven't seen
for being right.
What is the show?
No.
Yeah, I think he gets paid either way.
They
yeah.
don't even. I thought the way it would happen is if you guessed the correct person, the mask would come off and you'd be like, oh, we gotcha. But no, it's like...
No, you're rewarded for talent.
It sounds like the... It's like a Radio Secret Sound competition. Is that what it is? It's basically Secret Sound and Secret Singing Sound.
Celebrities come up, but they're in this like big costume and they sing and there's like a little package of hints about them.
Are they singers?
No. Well, some of them probably are.
And it's different every time. I thought it was...
So we've been introduced to 12 and 2 have been revealed.
Wow.
So far.
And once they're revealed, it's boring.
Do you want to know who they are?
Delta Goodrum.
Brett Lee.
Oh, really?
From and Gretel Colleen. And
from Big Brother. Yeah. Bloody hell.
And nobody guessed either of those people.
Yeah, right.
I would say they're real. Well, because I was excited to watch it, and then Mark was like, I'm excited for you to not know who any of these people are.
Oh, and you knew the first two.
So far, I could name them.
There would be people younger than us who would have no idea who either of those people are. Brett Lee, a cricketer from 10
I really
years
only
ago.
Remember Brett Lee because he did that Tony Abbott video telling everyone to vote for Tony Abbott.
Yeah, he jumped on the wrong horse there, didn't he?
Yeah, just come
the
on.
The only
man.
Losing He's conservative gonna... in the whole election. Yeah. It was the one he got on. yeah, so people should listen to Batch Bitch. There'll be a link in the description, especially if you're going to get onto The Masked Singer. Hughesy, for people who don't know, is like the biggest comedian in Australia. What are you laughing at? Who's bigger? Who's bigger than Hughesy?
Height-wise.
Do you mean nationally or internationally?
Nationally.
Nationally.
So, because like...
In Australia, he'd be the biggest. I would say.
Hughesy?
Yeah, Hughesy would be the biggest. Yeah. Absolutely. By like...
What about Carl Barron?
He's pretty big, but he doesn't have the radio and TV profile.
The most appearing comedian, maybe.
Yeah, and he'd sell tickets.
Yeah.
You see him, he does so much stuff too.
I opened for him once in some like town...
What?
They knew. Same demographic.
Yeah.
Hamish Blake?
Hamish Blake's pretty big.
But he's not. He doesn't do stand-up.
Yeah,
he?
I guess I was meaning more stand-up. Yeah. Tom Gleason would be up there.
Yeah.
Jim Jefferies probably is our biggest internationally known comedian, I guess.
Jim Jefferies.
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Anyway, people should listen to The Masked Singer podcast.
Oh, and you should absolutely watch The Masked Singer, especially if you're not from Australia.
But, and this is also, you've said in the past, this is the kind of show you don't have to have watched the source material to enjoy the podcast.
A lot of people don't.
No, yeah. Our podcast is pretty much only people who don't watch the shows listening to us talk about it.
There are some people who wait until they've seen the episode to listen to the podcast. And to them I say, don't bother.
What about spoilers?
Well, you read the news every day, you get spoilers.
Yeah, read the news, Evan, for once in your life.
You open your phone, then you find out who won The Bachelor and who had sex with him the week before.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, what?
No, that was just a rumor. That wasn't true.
Okay. Evan, who's...
Danielle's like, dish.
Ooh, somebody tell me the gossip.
Who's on Gaming this week?
This week.
Or last week. Who's on the
last week?
Because I'm going to put this right out now. So
yeah, so if you go to Gaming Game on YouTube, who is on?
Well, me.
I can't remember.
Who's on the episode that just went out? Isn't it Michelle?
I'm not on the last episode.
Yeah, so the current episode is Michelle Brazier, Kate Dennett, and Ben Russell.
Ben Russell, one of our reviewers will really enjoy that.
Because this show is good when something happens without Ben Russell.
Ben Russell is on most episodes.
Yeah.
So am I. Why aren't you saying that?
What?
Well, because no one in our review said that.
Yeah, they don't.
Naomi is also on most episodes.
Yeah.
And she'll be on the next episode.
Talk about that goose game.
With Ben Russell. Great.
I was... Hey, you know, Evan, I am available to be on Gaming Game whenever you need me.
Yes.
Just keep that
in mind.
We'll
get you on. Yeah,
Evan,
we'll get
I don't know if you know this, soon. But Matt's Gaming Game's biggest fan.
I love Gaming Game. Okay. Oh, also, I should say the Gaming Game footy spin-off Footy Foot just came out yesterday or this week, and it is all about the AFL footy finals. Yeah. And much like this show, Batch Bitch or Gaming Game, you don't really need to care about the topic to hopefully enjoy it. It was a lot of great fun. Also had Michelle Brazier on it, Xavier, Michael Eadies. Josh Earl from the what is it? Not
Don't,
the
you, know
on. Don't you Know Who I Am podcast.
Was Ben
and
Russell on
Joel
it?
Joel Dusha from Sons Punts.
Was Ben Russell on it?
Ben Russell wasn't on it. He was on last year.
Why would we watch it?
Well, he was in the building at the time, and I was on it. I hosted it. It was a great fun time. I laughed more than I normally laugh.
Yeah, Ben was
absolutely
more
it is
than this.
On Footy Foot, that show always makes me laugh a lot for some reason. I don't know why that is.
Is it because it's about something you're interested in?
I don't think so. I don't necessarily. I'm not like Evan. I laugh at things I like.
So he says.
Anyway, so I'll put links to or both of your shows in the description, and people should really check them out. Especially check out Do Go On this week, which is about the Christian sex cult.
Were they Christian?
Yes. Mm. It's an amazing leap. He took a couple of leaps. He went from
angels.
He in his mind he goes, angels obviously have sex in heaven, and they wouldn't be monogamous.
No.
So why would we not? If we want heaven on earth, we should be having sex with everybody.
Yeah, I also find it interesting how they basically fixed the wage gap in that sex cult. And then when it disbanded, the women went back to having a shit time.
But I didn't realize that. But because the workers still got paid, the company split yearly profits in half and spread that evenly between all the workers.
Yeah.
So like in the 1800s, it was maybe it wasn't pro women anymore, but it was pro workers.
Yeah.
There was also a lot of fucked up stuff as well.
No.
I reckon if you probably
want
to
punishing people for playing instruments.
more the age of some of the people who were made to have sex, but
Okay.
So let's see.
Uh-oh, but wage gap swings and roundabouts.
So follow everyone on Instagram, Twitter, whatever.
You've been trying to end this podcast for about 2 hours.
I'll put the put everyone's what do you call the things with the at
before?
Handles. I'll put everyone's handles below. And yeah, that's brings us into the show. Evan, thank you for joining us as always. Danielle and Naomi. And as we always say here to sign off on Primates.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that's funny. That's ours.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.